And hello, everybody, and welcome to Populist. I'm Steve Hafer. This is episode 32. We're going a little historical for you, and to help me, as always, is the Emily Dickinson to my Maya Angelou. It's Kirk Trutner. How's it going today, Kirk?
And hi, everybody. Welcome to the episode, as Steve told you, and we're kind of giving you a bit of a hint, but today we are going to be doing our top 10 women of history. Awesome subject. I mean, I found out so much great stuff doing research here and you know, more about people that I knew, found out about people I wasn't quite aware of. And I think this is going to be a great list for us to go back and forth on.
It was kind of an intimidating one, but I think when we talked about it, which we did in between season one and season two, when we started compiling our list, this was one of the earlier things that we put on the list. And even at that time, I was going, ooh, that's going to be a... it's going to be a bit of a job, but not that for lack of candidates, just how do you pick them? And how do you pick them?
I mean, it's tough. I'm going to go on record right now as saying I'm going to screw this up. I'm going to forget somebody, or I'm going to forget to say something about a historical woman or a woman of importance. And I'm going to screw it up because the field is so vast. There are so many great women that we could look at with their accomplishments and what they meant to the world, both historically, recently. You know, I'm going to quote the Grateful Dead. You know, one of the songs they do is called "Yes, the Women Are Smarter." And the opening line of the song is, "People put men and women together, see which one is smarter. Some say men, I say no. Women got the men like a puppet show." And that's absolutely the truth. Guys will beat their chest. Women get things done. We got a lot of women we had to kind of sort through. The one thing I will say, typically I like to look for long-term impact on things, as we've talked about songs or movies or drinks or what have you. With this one, I went a little bit more current, mainly for the fact that we have more absolute information on people from the last 50, 100 years, as opposed to going back to the Middle Ages, whereas, you know, we've always heard history is written by the winners. You know, I think we have more accurate information about these women in the last, like I say, 5,100 years. And that's where I landed a lot of my choices. What about you?
Yeah, it was tough. I didn't know whether to go for somebody or all people who just had a long reaching impact or people who just did something impressive, especially given the time and place that they're in with the obstacles that were set against them and the people who were the true pioneers and were the firsts of something. And so I've got a little bit of a blend of all of them. And also, do we still talk about them today? So, you know, spoiler, I guess I'm giving away that I don't have too many current people on the list. And that's not because what they're doing now isn't important or whatever, but I think, as we like to say on a lot of our lists, that time will tell exactly where they fall into, you know, the legacy thing. But also, the people that came before and the people that did do it first or blaze the trail or did it against bigger obstacles, which may not stand now, even though there are today has a myriad of its own obstacles. You know, I think that's kind of what I want too. So, it's a varied list for me.
I mean, on that note, you know, one person that struck me was, and she's not on my list, but she's definitely bubbling under, and that's Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah.
And not as an actress, but a lot of people don't know she invented some remarkable things, including some technology during World War II that was used to help keep messages coded. It was I wrote this down somewhere.
It was a jumping frequency.
It was called a... yeah, she pioneered frequency hopping, yeah, spread spectrum technology. Yeah. All right. 20 years ago, that's really cool. But this is the same technology that has formed the basis of Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS technology over the last 20 years. Does that make her much more significant now? Because she discovered something that has become a cornerstone of what we do in daily life. You know, that was an interesting kind of dichotomy.
She did hers back in 1941, I believe it was. So it's like, yeah.
Right. But in 1960, okay, that's fine. That's all well and good.
Yeah.
But in 2022, when everything we do is impacted by either Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or GPS at this point in time, that technology looms much larger than it did back then.
And she's on my honorable mention for that very reason. It's, you know, they didn't even know what they had at the time. And it was poo-pooed by both the U.S. Right. and the British as far as, I don't know where this helps us. And it wasn't until later where some people said, wow, the applications of this could be amazing, you know. So its initial purpose of helping to decipher codes or create codes to combat, especially Nazi Germany, it was never used for that. But people thought, wait, she's onto something here. So, yeah, pretty cool. Right. All right. But since we talked about there were many candidates and the field of candidates is vast and deep, that means people are not going to be on our list, obviously. So that brings us into our
unlisted.
And in the unlisted segment, that's where Kirk and I give you three people that will not be seen or heard on our list. What about for you, Kirk? Who's on your unlisted this week?
Well, I already mentioned one, which is Hedy Lamarr. Again, boiling just under. Also not on my list will be Joan of Arc and Eve.
You're funny. I was... I almost put the Virgin Mary on mine on that same vein, but I did not. Not on my list today will be the influential First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, the feminist and women's liberation icon Gloria Steinem, or either Elizabeth, one or two, Queens of England. None of them will be on my list today.
Ah, I think we are going to have a varied and disparate conversation.
Yes, and one of your unlisteds will be on my list, so,
And at least one on yours is on mine.
Interesting, see? And just because they're on our unlisted does not mean they're not worthy. It just means they, for each of us, they didn't make our list. Great.
Yes.
Well, yes. I'm anxious to get into it, but I think it's your turn to set the odds for the over-under.
The over-under.
Oh, man. For the common match, which means they're both on our list, but in different spots, I'm going to go with 2.5.
For the common?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take the over on that.
Okay. And for the exact match, I'm going to go with 1.5.
I will take the over on that also because I think it's a... I just have the feeling we have a guaranteed one.
Okay.
Not necessarily number one, but then I'll just take my chances with maybe that there's a second floating out there.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'll take the over on both.
Let us see if we can put our collective bind our minds together.
All right. And without further ado, let's get back into it. We're going to go to a little bit of a new format, which will feel a little bit like an old format. But that starts us off with...
Number 10.
And the first selection in our number 10 spot for me is a famous leader of the past, a ruler, and that is Cleopatra. You know her, you love her. She was the last dynastic pharaoh of Egypt, born in 69 BC. What's fascinating about her is she's still very much prevalent in today's world. We all know about her. We all have seen movies about her, read books about her. She is very much a iconic figure of modern Egypt since they have such a link to their past. She was a young co-ruler and she wrested control or she had co-control with her one of her brothers. And then she imparted her favors and her affections onto Julius Caesar, who then killed her brother in battle. Restored her to full reign, and that's where she stayed until she met Mark Antony, had children with him. After he died, she killed herself, and then Rome made Egypt a province of Rome. So while she was there, she was a very iconic and strong leader, very much a part of Egypt's history. So Cleopatra, my number 10.
Very Elizabeth Taylor of you. Was yeah. Richard Burton anywhere in the mix on this?
If I could do even a beginning of a good Richard Burton imitation, you would have received it right there, but I can't, so you won't.
good choice. Certainly looked at her. She did not make my list, but I can see why she made yours. Absolutely. My number 10 is considered to be, by many, to have been the most powerful and enlightened woman of her age, if not the entire medieval period of time, and that is Eleanor of Aquitaine. She was actually both the queen of France under Louis VII and the Queen of England under Henry II. She was the mother to Richard the Lionhearted, John of England. She actually fought in the Second Crusade, accompanying her husband, Louis VII. But she was considered a trailblazer who transformed politics for future aristocratic women. Her political career has acted even, you know, over the centuries as a guiding compass for other queens to follow. She influenced her descendants and her successors to follow her examples in the practices of property rights and the role of a queen, et cetera. She really set the standard. And this is during a period of time when, you know, women really didn't have that much power or influence. She certainly did. And the fact that she was the queen of two separate countries during her pretty life is pretty amazing. So for me, number 10 is Eleanor of Aquitaine. Or Tane. Aquitaine.
Okay.
Aquafresh.
Finding Nemo? I don't know. still on last week's episode of Disney Pixar.
Yes.
Which was great fun.
Yes.
Very good. Well, we have a couple rulers there, so let's move on.
So you're saying this is a matter of inches.
Ooh.
That's okay. The game is afoot.
All right.
Number 9.
My number 9 is also another ruler, and it is Catherine the Great of Russia, born in 1729. She had the longest reign of any female Russian leader, all the way up to her death in 1796. She got her control after a military coup against her emperor husband, Peter. She won over the military, who were going to just instill his 7-year-old son as a new emperor, and she got control herself. And boy, when she had it, she never let it go, and she did a lot of things with it. She defeated the Turks in battle. She sought peace with the Austrian Empire. She expanded Russia's borders by over 200,000 miles all the way to the Black Sea and into Central Europe. She promoted modernization. She also promoted westernization while still keeping her autocratic control. She was a patron of literature, promoted Russian culture, just very influential into kind of launching Russia into their modern times. So strong leader, bold leader, Catherine the Great.
Very close to making my list as well. I mean, it's difficult to not look back at, you know, several prominent queens or leaders, Catherine the Great being one of them, without looking at the body of their work. I mean, it's incredible. Again, didn't make my list, but very worthy of being included.
And when I first read about her, it's like Catherine the Great married to Peter. I go, oh, is that Peter the Great? So was she Mrs. the Great? But no, that was like her grandfather.
Was
so.
she Mrs. in there, but the Great? Peter. That's hilarious.
The Great.
That's hilarious. My number 9 is an abolitionist, a woman's rights activist, emancipated slave, and itinerant evangelist who arguably became the most well-known 19th century African-American woman. She was born in 1797, Isabella Bumfrey, but in 1843, she changed her name to Sojourner Truth. She was an escaped slave. I love what she said. She said, when asked about escaping slavery with her small daughter, Sophia, she said, quote, I did not run off, for I thought that'd be wicked, but I walked off believing that would be okay. I just thought that was a great way of justifying escaping the slave owner that held her. She eventually made her way to New York, taken in by a very kind family who instilled into her very spiritual and religious beliefs. So again, in 1843, she changed her name to Sojourner Truth and embarked on a journey to preach the gospel and speak out against slavery and oppression. She spent the years prior to the Civil War sojourning throughout the states, preaching and teaching on all of these issues. In 1851, she gave the now iconic Ain't I a Woman speech at a women's rights convention in Ohio and really set the stage for the second half of the 1800s. There was enormous pressure on women at that time to choose between the women's movement and the abolitionist movement. She never chose. As she pointed out in this speech, she shouldn't have to choose. So she really began giving some great thought for women that they could be anything they want as one of the starts of the women's movement and the rights that they ultimately were given. As well. During the Civil War, she provided assistance to the Union Army. After the war, she took care of slaves, refugee camps, all throughout Washington, met with President Lincoln, all the more made the amazing as an orator and a writer. She was illiterate. So the passion that came through in all of these speeches, all of these writings were just amazing. Incredible woman, Isabella Baumfrey, better known as Sojourner Truth, is my number nine.
Excellent choice on my honorable mention. Just didn't quite make it, but could have easily happened during the week, bounced on and off a couple times for sure. Okay, that brings us to
number eight.
My number eight is considered to be the founder of modern nursing, and that is Florence Nightingale, known also as the Lady with the Lamp. She was born in 1820 in Florence, Italy, and she died in 1910 in London. God spoke to her, she took that advice, and she entered nursing in a less than respectable profession for a woman at the time. Educated in Germany, began practicing nursing in Paris, and then when she returned to London, she gained a lot of notoriety and promotions as she developed groundbreaking hygiene practices, lowering death rates considerably, and that really came to bear during the Crimean War, where she led 30 other women to a cesspool-contaminated facility, reversed conditions there, started new medical supply chains and increased the survival rates of the soldiers, which started to become standard practice. She was awarded the Nightingale Jewel by Queen Victoria. She wrote the first textbook on modern nursing, and she was the first woman to receive the British Order of Merit in 1907. Very influential in the world of medicine for nursing, Florence Nightingale.
That's a great choice. And that was one of the tougher ones to leave off my list for all the things that you just said. I think it's a great choice, though.
Well, thank you. You must have somebody at number seven.
I do. And I'll tell you after I tell you who's at number eight.
Oh, yeah. Let me try that again.
My number eight is my cheat. And politely said, I've got a couple of queens. My number eight is split between Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth I. You're talking about two incredible rulers of the United Kingdom. That Queen Victoria ruled for 63 years. Queen Elizabeth ruled for over 50 years. They both were so definitive. Their eras have become known as the Victorian era and the Elizabethan era as well. They were very progressive under Queen Victoria's rule. Slavery was abolished. Voting rights are granted to most British men. In Queen Elizabeth's time, she presided over a period marked by exploration and advances in the arts and technology. She helped to create the modern Church of England. She defeated the Spanish Armada. Queen Victoria made reforms in labor conditions and presided over significant cultural, political, and military changes for the empire. Two extraordinary women, separated by roughly 400 years, but accomplished so many great things, it's hard to separate them. So my number eight is Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth I.
Well, you can separate them by like a century or something, but no, I'm kidding. if you're going to cheat, I guess.
Well, with a shoehorn.
It's the traditional Kirk cheat. And we're going to have to like get a little sound cue or something. Today's
sound effect.
The weekly Kirk cheat. Wah. Da, 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 da.
The thumbs up, thumbs down on whether the cheat was worth it or not.
Thumbs up. It's a good cheat. It's good linkage and very, very powerful monarchs. It was hard for me to separate them also. But unlike yourself, I made a man's decision and I went with one.
Given our topic, do you really want to use that phrase to define how you came to your thought process?
Okay. I grew a pair. No, wait.
Sorry, ladies. He's taken.
They're tough to separate, those two, but you know what? I found a way, and I'll be talking about one of them later.
Number seven.
My number seven is somebody that was on your unlisted, and that is the heroine of France, Joan of Arc. Come on. She's called the heroine of France. That's a pretty cool title. She was born around 1412, and she died around the age of 19. Records are a little tougher to come by back then. But she's known from, you know, a lot of different teachings, both in school and in religion and whatever. She had testified to having received visions from the Archangel Michael, St. Margaret, and St. Catherine of Alexandria, instructing her to support King Charles VII and recover France from English domination. And boy, did she do exactly that. She was ejected twice from the king receiving her, but then she finally won an audience and was given that chance that she wanted. And she played a prominent role in lifting the siege at Orleans, as well as being prominent in other major battles, leading to the consecrating of Charles as king with Joan at his side. She was made a noble, and then later, during another battle at Compiègne, I can never pronounce that, Compiègne, she was tried by the English and found guilty of heresy, but she became the martyr of France, and she's buried at St. Peter's Basilica, and she was canonized by Pope Benedict XV in 1920, making her a saint. She's a saint. Got a saint on my list. Joan of Arc.
Who doesn't have a saint on their list? And when you say she was the heroine of France, was she a hero or a lethal drug?
Female hero, heroine, heroine,
heroine, heroine, heroine, yes. The perils of Pauline, Joan of Arc. Yeah, I just, I hate to put it this way, not enough on the resume for me. Just wasn't going to make the list. So no, not on my list.
She's the original badass of her time.
Joan Van Arc.
Oh man. You're hoping not to receive grief for this. You just received it there, right there.
No, not at all.
All right, Nubby, who's your number seven?
My number seven is the youngest person ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And she did so after surviving an assassination attempt by the Taliban in 2012. My number seven is Malala. In early 2009, she began blogging for the BBC about living under the Taliban's threats and denying her an education. This led to having a bounty put on her and resulting in the shooting. She survived. And following the attack, she said, "The terrorists thought they would change our aims and stop our ambitions, but nothing has changed in my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage were born." I mean, that's pretty remarkable for somebody who was in her mid-teens. In October of 2013, she won the Sakharov Prize for Freedom of Thought. In 2017, appointed the UN Messenger of Peace, the highest honor the UN can bestow. And in the fall of, in October of 2014, again, the youngest ever to win the Nobel Peace Prize. She and her father founded the Malala Fund. On her 18th birthday, she opened a school for Syrian refugees in Lebanon. And as she said then on to my first day as an adult, on behalf of the world's children, I demand leaders. We must invest in books instead of bullets. She graduated Oxford College with degrees in philosophy, politics, and economics, and she's still very active in teaching activism and change making. Again, she's the youngest person on my list, but given what she's already done and the strength and determination she's shown, I have no doubt that she's going to continue doing great things. So my number seven is Malala.
She's definitely an inspirational person and everything. She didn't make my list because I am still waiting to see what becomes everything, but definitely off to a great start. Definitely inspirational for sure. So we will see, Malala. We're watching, but in a good way.
Number six.
My number six is part of your cheat from number eight, and that is Queen Victoria. Gotta like old Queen Vic. She was queen to the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and Ireland, and Empress of India. It's quite the title. She assumed the throne when her childless uncle, King William IV, passed away. She was, as Kirk said, the longest ruling monarch until Elizabeth II, the current Queen of England, came along and passed that. She ruled during a time of great economic and imperial and scientific and industrial and cultural expansion, as Kirk said, known as the Victorian era. Very philanthropic, a lot of works in Ireland after the Great Famine. She fostered good relations with France, created the Reform Act of 1867, and kind of expanded and ushered the British Empire into the modern age of England. Everything else Kirk said, but she was a strong queen. Good old Queen Victoria. Gotta like her. My number six.
Good old Queen Vic. Make her sound like a car. My number six is somebody that you kind of made fun of a little bit earlier on in the show.
You?
Yeah. I don't think you can create a list like this without putting this person on here somewhere. Now, we know remarkably little about this person, and the argument can be made, is it the person or what has been made of this person by others? But my number six is the Virgin Mary. Mary has always been a central figure in Christianity. She is the mother of Jesus. Again, this is a faith-based choice. So I'm just going to go with the assumption that the faith is true. But she is the mother of Jesus, unquestionably the senior saint in the Christian tradition, the most widely and recognized venerated saint in the Catholic tradition. But again, we don't know a whole lot about her, which does lend to the idea that again, history goes to the winners, and the winners write that history. So what was made of this tale? What was made of her story? Outside of the accounts of the birth of Jesus, she's only in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke and only mentioned it three other times. Present at a wedding where Jesus turns water into wine, an attempt to see her son, and she's there at the crucifixion. But she is still such a central figure to some of the largest religions of the world, including Islam. In fact, she's mentioned more in the Quran than in the New Testament. So she's present. She's there. She's got to go on this list. I just don't know where to put her, so I put her right in the middle. Number six is the Virgin Mary.
Interesting choice. I disagree. I don't think she has to go on the list. I don't fault you for putting on there. Like you said, it is a faith-based thing, and there's so many things that, like you said perfectly, we just don't know. We just don't know. And the fact that she is brought up so little through the rest of the writings just adds to that question mark. So, important. Absolutely. Could be the most important, could be, who knows. And that's the who knows is what got me. But I can't fault you for it. Not in the least.
And Steve bursts into flames in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Not saying I'm a non-believer, not saying whatever. I'm just talking about where she goes on the list. All right. Moving on to our final selection before we get to our Mount Rushmore, and that is
number 5.
And number 5, mine is one of the most famous legends of America, and that is Harriet Tubman. Not a big lady, only 5 feet tall, but she was big in stature, big in what she meant. She was smart, organized, and courageous. The most famous quote-unquote conductor of the Underground Railroad, as she brought more than 300 people out of enslavement in the U.S. and up to Canada. She first became free herself after arriving in Philadelphia after escaping enslavement in Maryland. She was, and then the Fugitive Slave Act was passed, and she was free no longer. So even with that hanging over her and that threat of being captured and enslaved again, she still returned to Maryland to free her sister's family and then started a round trip affair of over 18 to 19 times, averaging 2 trips a year to take out groups of slaves. She is an American legend. It's hard to argue what she means in the course of American history, of what she did for the freedom of slavery movement. And Harriet Tubman is my choice at number 5.
It's a great choice. I mean, how can you not put Harriet Tubman, especially if we're just talking American women, obviously, but I think you absolutely have it right when you include her, women of all time. It's a great choice.
So thank you. Yeah. It's to me, she was there, and like I said, Sojourner Truth, you know, also very, very close, made my list. And Rosa Parks got a lot of consideration, as well. These are very courageous women for obvious reasons, and they took their courage and they stuck to it, as did a lot of people from the civil rights movement. And that's the whole thing that I think with women's rights, civil rights, there's a lot of commonalities between the people of those two movements, who were very courageous, very driven, and meant a lot to the history and the fabric of our culture,
and took great risks in many cases to do so.
Absolutely. And Martin Luther King, and rightfully so, and a lot of people get a lot of credit on the men's side. And I just want to make sure that these women get their just due, because they're every bit as important in my mind.
Absolutely. My number five is a woman who, along with her husband, coined the term radioactivity. This is Madame Curie, Marie Curie, born in 1867 and passed away in 1934. She is the first woman to have ever won a Nobel Prize and is the only person to date to have won it twice, but in two different disciplines of science. Once in 1903, physics, doing some research on radiation. And in 1911, chemistry, with the discovery of polonium and radium. So a lot of that is very well known. What isn't well known about her is she had a huge role during the First World War. She developed mobile X-ray machines that were able to go out onto the battlefield and diagnose soldiers that had been injured immediately, as opposed to waiting for them to get transported back behind the lines. Over the course of the First World War, it's estimated that over 1 million wounded soldiers were treated with these units. She also discovered radon, a colorless radioactive gas that can be used for sterilizing infected tissue. Her work during the First World War began medical research, which led to the use of X-rays. And a lot of this work is still paying dividends today. Based on the discoveries made by her, a new technique to cure cancer was discovered recently, which involved the insertion of substances which were labeled with radioisotopes into organs of patients to image the tumor. I don't want to go into the science of it all, but the fact that she did this work almost a century ago and it's still paying dividends is pretty amazing. She's contributed greatly to the advancement of two various fields. She's contributed greatly to the advancement of two very different fields of science. So my number five is Madame Curie.
Awesome choice. I think very highly of her. Very important in many, many aspects. And maybe we should stop saying something at this moment. All right. Well, that's our 10 through 5. So let's reiterate. My 10 through 5s were Cleopatra at number 10, Catherine the Great of Russia at 9, Florence Nightingale at 8, Joan of Arc 7, Queen Victoria 6, and Harriet Tubman at 5. Kirk, who were yours?
My number 10 was Eleanor of Aquitaine. Number 9 was Isabella Bounfrey, who became the woman's right activist Sojourner Truth. Number 8 were the queens, Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth I. Number 7 was Malala. Number 6 was the Virgin Mary. And number 5 was Madame Curie.
Nicely done. All right. And that brings us into our
Mount Rushmore.
And Mount Rushmore is the four people on our list that we deem just a little better than everybody else. And they take that special spot on our Mount Rushmore. And that starts with
number 4.
And my number 4 was Kirk's number 5 just a moment ago, and that is Marie Curie, Madame Curie. Born in 1867, died in 1934. Kirk pretty much said everything that I was going to say. The only thing I will add on to it is just her work helped overturn the established ideas of science, while also at the same time breaking the culture barriers of being a woman and being accepted and having her ideas being accepted, since it was coming from a woman. A true pioneer by any definition, in my mind. She was also something, I don't think you did mention this, she was the first woman professor at the Sorbonne in France. She made those discoveries of polonium and radium. Kirk talked about the Nobel Prize winning, her developing the portable X-ray machines. This is all just important stuff that still gets used or was built off of, and the new versions are being used today. After the war, though, she also raised money to build a hospital and a laboratory focusing on radiology, which uses X-rays and radium to treat the cure of disease. So it wasn't just like she just stumbled onto this, you know, scientific thing and won her Nobel Prizes. So very accomplished, very important to the world of science and all its different applications, Madame Curie.
Well, we missed an exact by just a spot, but I think
just that much. Yeah.
I'm glad to see her on the list. She was one of those that the more I did research on her, the more I just was like, wow, this was an impressive. I mean, you've always heard Madame Curie is kind of the catch all, you know, who do you think you are, Madame Curie, you know, kind of thing. But when you dive into what she accomplished, I mean, it's extraordinary. So, you know, that was kind of a fun name to dig into and find out more about her.
Absolutely. All right. So now we have to look at your first face of Mount Rushmore, and who would that be?
That's going to be someone who's called the mother of the civil rights movement. And that is someone you mentioned earlier. And I'm really surprised she's not on your list. And that is Rosa Parks. She became an international icon of resistance to racial segregation after she refused to give up her bus seat to a white passenger in December of 1955. I think a lot of people already know that. But what I don't think we know is, following that, she mobilized the NAACP to boycott buses and draw national attention to the inhumane segregation laws that existed in many southern states. And it was less than a year later, or a little over a year later, that the Supreme Court ruled that Alabama and Montgomery, Alabama laws requiring segregated buses to be unconstitutional. She effected change. She had worked all through her life for the rights of African Americans, even before this incident, and certainly after the incident. After successfully challenging the law and seeing segregation ruled unconstitutional, she continued as a prominent voice and symbol of the courage it takes in the civil rights movement. She continued activist work in Detroit after the bus boycott added to her legacy, but she had to move from Montgomery because of the death threats that she was getting. She kept the good fight going. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1996, the Congressional Gold Medal in 1999, and she was laid to rest in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda in 2005 when she passed away, becoming the first woman and only the third non-governmental official to have this honor. She is a symbol of the civil rights movement, an important part of the last century, and she is my number four, Rosa Parks.
Yeah, can't argue with that. The problem with this list for me is there's just so many different people from so many different disciplines.
It's so true. It is so true.
Try to represent a little bit of everything. It's hard. It's hard. But good choice. Good choice in yours. Moving on.
Number three.
Well, my number three also, I think, emphasizes that point that I just made. This is somebody from a completely different discipline and one of the more famous women pioneers. And Kirk would say, oh, it's Steve and his love of ships and planes. It's the pilot Amelia Earhart, born in 1897 in Kansas, disappeared somewhere over the Pacific Ocean on around July 2nd, 1937, at the age of 39.
Or did she?
Right. known as Lady Lindy, after her likeness to Charles Lindbergh, both in appearance and in the fact that she was a pioneering pilot. She started as a nurse, but then after visiting an air show in Toronto, she caught the bug and she was a flyer ever since that point. She had to fight gender barriers, as most of these women on these lists did, to become a pilot, and was told that it wasn't a job for women. She set a world record for women pilots in altitude with a secondhand plane that she purchased when she was early in her career. She became the 16th woman in the U.S. to get a pilot's license, the first woman to fly the Atlantic as a crew member in 1928. She toured the U.S. promoting women in aviation. And then while doing that, she became the first woman to solo across North America continent to one side and back. That was in 1928 as well. She set another altitude record in 1939. She also promoted that there should be separate records for women. They shouldn't just be lumped in there with the men. She was the first woman to solo across the Atlantic Ocean in 1932. And she also flew from Honolulu to Oakland in 1935. In 1937, after completing two-thirds of the distance around the world, that's where she disappeared somewhere over the Pacific. She's a legend in flying, whether you're male or female. She's just a legend, period. We still talk about her today in the context of her mysterious disappearance and what actually happened to her. It's Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart was an interesting decision for me because I agree with a lot of what you just said. But was that too narrow a band? What she accomplished was great. She went to the pinnacle, but you know, it wasn't a broader fan. And you know, I'll apologize in public right now to, you know, my beautiful Jill, who's actually related to Amelia Earhart. So she came close to making the list, but did not make mine. I just thought there were too many other really accomplished women that had a deeper and broader impact on the world at large.
Just like you're going to almost get dinner tonight. It's going to be good. Gonna be good. Yeah, she, I'm into, you know, the women who do the first and break the barriers. And there are certain professions that were just really, you know, much like with Florence Nightingale, when she was told that being in hospitals and medicine and everything just wasn't the place for the woman. You know, Susan or Amelia Earhart encountered a lot of that as well in the very male dominated world of flying, which was akin to the military and stuff. So kudos to her.
Yeah.
All right. That leaves us with your choice for number three.
My number three is your number five, and that is Harriet Tubman. You know, all the things you talked about, the Underground Railroad, guided at least 70 slaves to freedom, including her own family members. I love the fact this is something I found out as I did the research. She was nicknamed Moses because she led her people to the promised land and she was never captured, and neither were any of the people that she guided. During the Civil War, this is something again I didn't know, she was a nurse and cook, as well as a scout and a spy for the Union forces. In fact, she led the Combahani River Raid, becoming the first woman to lead an armed assault during the Civil War. And later in life, campaigned for the woman's right to vote, established the Harriet Tubman Home for the Aged, and just became an inspiration for generations of African-Americans struggling for equality and civil rights. So you said a lot already, but my number three is Harriet Tubman.
You know, one of the little unsubstantiated things of to build on what you said, that she never lost one of her passengers, or they never, you know, returned to slavery, might have been because she might have shot a couple who did try to leave, because she knew that once they got out, if they started talking, then the whole operation was in jeopardy.
Well, so they were asking for it.
We don't know for sure. But popular opinion is, yeah, she might have had to pull that trigger a couple times, which I'm sure was a hugely hard decision, but for the betterment of the purpose. All right, moving on.
Number two.
My number two is Susan B. Anthony. And that's just the name that you got to say. Born in 1820 in Adams, Massachusetts, and a huge part of the abolitionist and temperance movements when she was young. Her family and she were friends to the very famous Frederick Douglass, who worked with her on many different causes. She was denied the chance to speak once at a temperance convention because of her gender, and she decided at that point to take up the fight for women's rights, saying, quote, "There will never be a complete equality until women themselves help to make the laws and elect lawmakers," unquote. And how right she was and how important she became. She founded the National Women's Suffragette Association in 1867 with Elizabeth Cady Stanton, another huge, hugely important pioneer in that cause. She created The Revolution. It's a weekly publication about women's rights. She co-edited three volumes of History of Women's Suffrage. She toured the nation giving speeches and encouraging women to vote. Once being arrested and fined for voting illegally in the 1872 presidential election. The 19th Amendment, which was the result of all her hard work and the different women of her and the different women of her cause, the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote, is nicknamed the Susan B. Anthony Amendment in honor of her work. And I think that pretty much just says right there how important she was to a lot of the rights, especially in regards to politics and equality and voting and everything that women in the United States have today. And it's due to Susan B. Anthony and her friends.
If I had a dollar.
That was the joke I was looking for earlier, I think.
Yeah. She was somebody that really came close to making my list. I had to flip a coin, bada bing. and honestly, if we just wanted to do a list of women who were involved in advancing women's rights, we could just do that. Yeah. There are so many that did such great work.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my number two, I think, fits that same category. So I'll segue into mine right now. My number two was on your unlisted, and I'm really surprised, actually. This is Eleanor Roosevelt. She was a politician, a diplomat, activist, humanitarian. I mean, she really rewrote what it was to be a first lady. I mean, even before she got into the White House, she was a member of the Legislative Affairs Committee of the League of Women Voters. She became an influential leader in New York's politics and really got the support of Democratic women for Franklin Roosevelt and getting him into office. As First Lady, she chaired the committee which drafted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which has been adopted or has influenced most national constitutions since 1948. She helped establish the National Youth Administration, which operated from 1935 to 1943, helped over 4 million kids find jobs, receive training, afford higher standards of education. And it played a key role in enabling American youth to contribute to the war effort at the time as well. She co-chaired the Office of Civilian Defense, was vocal in her support of the African-American civil rights movement. She broke precedent by inviting hundreds of African-American guests to the White House. And she was one of the few voices in the White House that insisted the benefits be extended equally to Americans of all races, creeds, colors. And then to piggyback on the Susan B. Anthony choice, she also worked tirelessly for the rights of women. I mean, she encouraged her husband to appoint more women to federal positions, help working women receive better wages, held numerous press conferences for female reporters only. And this was at a time when women were barred from the from White House press conferences. She was a remarkable woman. She served as the first U.S. representative to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. The U.N. posthumously. I never get that word right. Awarded her with one of its first human rights prizes in 1968. She was just extraordinary, a selfless woman. I don't think she gets nearly enough credit. So my number two is Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yep. Can't argue with that choice at all. Even though she's on my unlisted, like we said in the beginning, it's not because they don't deserve to be there. It's just that for one reason or another, they didn't make my list. And I think it just came down to the real ticky-tack thing of that she may just have a little more opportunity than some of the other ladies on the list who, I don't know, but that opportunity was given to her, and she sure did a hell of a lot with it.
She made the most out of it.
Unlike a lot of people who we see who have opportunity and squander it. So, yeah, she's a great American, a great woman, great for so many different causes. I get why she's on your list and all the way on your Mount Rushmore. Good choice. All right. That brings us to the final spot.
Number one.
And my number one, and I'm curious if it's yours also, and that is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I see by the look on Kirk's face, it is. I had a feeling it might be. She was born in 1910 in the Ottoman Empire. She died in 1997 in Calcutta, India, and had many travels in between. She became a nun starting at the age of 18 in Ireland, and then in 1929 began her work in India. She started off as a geography school teacher, became a principal, and then after she took her final profession of vows in 1937, she then became Mother Teresa. And I'll let Kirk talk about a lot of the stuff here too, but it's just amazing how unselfish and just giving and single-minded of purpose that this woman is. And she served as the slums of Calcutta. She established different charity organizations, which grew, and then she started her influence and aid helped start other charities around the world. Even though she may not have been there herself, it was still with her help. And I'll let Kirk say the rest, but all I want to say is that her one quote to me just means so much, that if you judge people, you have not the time to love them. That seemed to be her overall guiding principle to most of the things that she did in life. She was about the people. She was about other things just don't matter. It's her love that wants to help others. And Mother Teresa, number one.
And as you've mentioned, yes, she is also my number one as well. And this is, this was not a difficult choice to make number one. I always knew in my head she was going to be number one and we'd have to fill out the list below. What this incredible woman achieved during the course of a very, just an amazing life cannot be understated. You touched upon the 50 years of service, helping the poor, the sick, the dying. She stayed among them. She voluntarily took over their poverty. I mean, this was a woman who was 100% absolutely selfless. But you also want to talk about the things she accomplished, things like establishing the Missionaries of Charity, an organization by the end of her life, had over 4,000 sisters and was operating 610 missions in over 120 countries. There's a home for the dying, a hospice that provided medical attention to those in need and gave people the opportunity to die with dignity in accordance to their faith. I mean, these are important spiritual things. These are not tangible financial, you know, gains, and why the rights of women are wonderful. The things you can just do for people, all people, are just extraordinary. She opened up the Children's Home for Immaculate Heart. They took homeless children, provided them with food, shelter, and medical care, helped to try and get the children adopted, and those not adopted were given an education, learned to trade, and found marriages. She made life better for everyone she came across. And though it would probably meant nothing to her, or a little to her, the awards that she racked up in her lifetime are just amazing. A Nobel Peace Prize, the inaugural Pope John Paul XIII Peace Prize, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And that's just three of about 30 that I found. And rightly so, in 2015, Pope Francis canonized her and made her a saint. She is extraordinary. She is somebody we should all aspire to be. And she is far and away my number one.
Mm-hmm. And with all that growth and everything, that all stemmed off of basically like her and like 13 others, right? That's what was the initial organization. It was very small, and it just, it's amazing. Amazing. All right. Good choice. And so that puts us at taking half of your cheat as one. That puts us at four, four for the common, which is over the 2.5 that you set, but you set 1.5 in the exact, and we only had one with Mother Teresa. And so I was wrong on that since I took the over. All right. But that brings us to
Unlisted, the sequel.
And Unlisted, the sequel, is where we talk about the other honorable mentions. And you know what? I tried to keep this a little short because, in all honesty, this could have been like 35 people for the honorable mentions here.
Oh, yeah.
Along with the people that we put on our unlisteds, which we've said time and time again are kind of an honorable mention. I mentioned Sojourner Truth and Rosa Parks already, but Abigail Adams and the aforementioned Elizabeth Cady Stanton, as far as women's rights, along with Eleanor Roosevelt, for sure. From politics, I had Margaret Thatcher, Indira Gandhi, Golda Meir, and Hillary Clinton, all very important women who were firsts in their respective countries. Sandra Day O'Connor from the Supreme Court. Babe Diedrichson Zaharias came very close to making my list as one of the first and most accomplished women athletes of all time. Sally Ride, first woman into space. And then people that also, you mentioned Hedy Lamarr, and I kind of joked when we were talking before the show, Jane Goodall was always very big in my eyes as far as accomplishments with what she did in Africa. What about you? Who's on your unlisted, the sequel?
Everybody you just said, I'll also throw out a couple of the names. Princess Diana, and not for the princess part, but really, but for all of the attention she brought to AIDS research.
Sure.
And care and compassion in the AIDS era. Greta Thunberg. I mean, again, she's young.
That's a good one.
Man, what kind of impact has she made? And, you know, again, like Malala, where does she go? I don't think she wants to back away from the stage. I think she wants her voice to be heard, and I think she's bright enough to partner with the right people and help get that out there as well.
That's a great call.
Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris is somebody. Again, I want to see a little bit more. And honestly, she may sneak onto the list if she becomes president, because that's a pretty remarkable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then one I thought about just from somebody who got kids back into reading was J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good viewpoint. Top 10, but certainly somebody I tumbled over and said, okay, you know, let's do a little digging here. But you know, and one name that I love is Ada Lovelace, who was an English mathematician and the world's first computer programmer in the 1800s.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, I almost made her and Hetty, you know, my cheat.
What do these two women have in common? It may not be on the surface. Yeah. Well, that actually brings me to a quick
blindside.
Uh-oh.
And for this blindside, I'm going to take this a little bit because I had a feeling it wouldn't get discussed too much on our list, but it's an interesting subject also. So in just the world of arts, whether it's performance art or literature or whatever, actual painting, name off some top women who were very influential in the arts.
In the arts.
And I'll start off a little bit with three that obviously come to mind for me.
Mrs. Da Vinci.
Three that come to mind for me, Emily Dickinson and Jane Austen, who we talked a little bit about before the show.
Sure.
Frida Kahlo, the painter. Georgia O'Keeffe. There's another one. Agatha Christie. Maya Angelou. Barbara Streisand, for sure. Singer, actress, and director. Cicely Tyson, actress. Ann Geddes, mm-hmm. the photographer who did all the stuff with the babies and everything. And then I probably had like 10 there, but maybe honorable mentions to Diane Carroll, Lucille Ball, of course, Marley Maitland, kind of broke barriers there for women with disabilities.
All right. If we're looking at the arts, to kind of bucket it like you did, the first ones that come to mind in terms of film and television, Katharine Hepburn, Rita Moreno,
sure.
You know, one of the few EGOT winners. Mm-hmm. Ida Lupino.
The
reason I bring her up is she was one of the first actresses that kind of forced her way into the director's chair mm-hmm. as well. Photography, Fran Lebowitz. Annie Leibovitz.
I think Annie Leibovitz. Yeah.
Annie Leibovitz. Some of the authors that, you know, we talked about J.K. Rowling, Maya Angelou, obviously Toni Morrison. Mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. would be on there. I think you mentioned most of the painters that I know. I mean, Grandma Moses.
Yeah.
You know, and recording, you could go on, Judy Garland. I love Lucille Ball. That was a great call in terms of a pioneer who did a lot of things. And Diane Carroll too. Not a lot of people know that she was the first African-American woman to have their own TV series, Julia. Which I loved as a kid, and I watched it, and I didn't know it was a big deal. It was a fun show, you know.
It was a fun show, and I thought she was gorgeous. Sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought this is absolutely a beautiful woman. Yeah.
Oh gosh, who else? Who else? I'm trying to see here. If you want to talk about now, you got somebody like a Beyonce, who has just built an mm-hmm. empire in terms of what she has done. As well.
Madonna. Yeah,
absolutely. And then you can even go back to the 60s, somebody like a Joan Baez who helped the civil rights movement as an artist, as well, singing out. So
that's a great call.
Yeah. There's so many, I mean, as we talked about earlier, if we wanted to divide this down into, you know, give me women of history from the arts, from politics, from leadership positions, from government, we could do a whole season just on that. There are so many great accomplished women out there.
Yeah. Some of the current directors, Anna DuVey, right. DuVernay, Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah.
Shonda
Rhimes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a director, but as a creative, you know, force. Mindy Kaling. And I give her a lot of credit for what she's done. Mm-hmm. As well.
And then, yeah.
And then one name that we should both put on the list, maybe there's a 10A, is Mom.
Mom. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, that's good. Yep. It was a challenging subject, but good names, good conversation brought up about it. Yeah, I'm glad we did that one for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I would do another one like this again in a heartbeat. These are good, fun research, find out a lot of cool stuff kind of topics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, congratulations to those pioneering women for being so important and influential. The marks that you've made are indelible and everlasting, to be sure. Next episode, we go back into music with a little bit of a film slant, as we will be talking about best film composers. Most of the biggest films of all time are made better because of the scores. We've talked about this a lot of times, and we're going to debate who's best.
I know this is what I'm really looking forward to, because it means we get to go listen to soundtracks for the next couple of weeks, and that's just going to be awesome.
That's right. I don't think any of you are going to want to miss this one. Should be fun.
And if you don't want to miss it, you can find us wherever you get quality podcasts. That could be Apple, Amazon, Google, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or wherever you go to get your pods. Populist is a member of the Buzzsprout community, and we are a Vintage Year production.
That's right. And no matter where you do listen to us, we're always grateful if you can give us a 5-star rating and or a positive review. It goes a long way to help growing the show and expanding our audience, and we do appreciate it. You can find us on Buzzsprout at populist.buzzsprout.com or on facebook.com/populistpod or on Twitter at populist_pod. All right, my friend. Another good show. Looking forward to next time.
Another great show.
Little music scores and music soundtracks. That should be fun. And until then, be good, everybody. See you soon.
Take care, everyone. Go hug your favorite woman.
See ya.